Welcome to the Glasgow Short Film Festival 2021 podcast. I'm Sana Yahul, the festival's co-director, and on behalf of our entire team, thank you for listening. We are happy to present this GSFF podcast series as part of our 14th edition, taking place online from the 22nd to the 28th of March. This year's festival lineup includes a 10th anniversary celebration of our Bill Douglas Award for International Short Film, as well as special programmes such as Barbed Wire Love, Artists and Their North of Ireland Troubles, Black Spatial Imaginaries, exploring the fluidity of Black communities through a lens of Black geographies, the 1980s shorts trilogy Three Worlds of Nick by Canadian cult filmmaker John Pies, and No New Normal, which highlights interconnected themes of surveillance, control, labour and alternative worlds. And there's more, including much-needed cinema therapy with shorts about dancing and dogs. In this episode, I speak to my colleague and GSFF's director, Matt Lloyd, about this year's festival. In the first part, we will chat about our competitions and Bill Douglas Award anniversary, and we will come back at the end of the episode to discuss some of our special programmes. In between, you will hear from members of the GSFF team and the external curators who have contributed to this year's festival. You can find out about the entire programme and how to access it on glasgowshort.org. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
This is only slightly strange for me to interview you.
Yeah, I'm just going to think of you as Janice Forsyth and we'll get through it fine.
Good. It's a compliment. I'll take it. I can't live up to it. How are you doing?
Fine. Under the circumstances, I feel like we shouldn't really ask anyone that question because no one's really got an answer that they really want to give to it at the moment, do they?
No, I know. But I can ask you because you're the only person I speak to. So yeah, we're going to chat a little bit about the festival, and then loads of our contributors are going to talk about their programs. So how are you feeling? Like when we're recording this, we're very, very close to it actually happening. But how are you feeling having to do this online twice in half a year?
Yeah. It's odd because it's much kind of, I suppose in some ways it's much calmer than it normally is. I mean, there's a lot to do, but we're all in our own little silos. In some ways, you know, we've gone through it all before, we've learned things and we're doing it better this time. But on the other hand, you know, none of this is what we signed up for, really.
No, I've found it quite a hard hit to take when we realized we had to go entirely online again. But what do you feel we're doing better this year?
I think we did pretty well first time. I suppose we've taken on board some of the lessons of festivals that have come after us, and we've kind of loosened up the program a bit so that people can kind of pick and mix a bit. They don't have to watch whole programs. But at the same time, we haven't lost sight of the fact that it is a festival over a limited period. I think we're hoping we're going to do more live chat this time. And obviously all these podcasts as well, catering to people like me who only engage with culture via podcasts these days. Yeah. And I suppose more than anything, we've been devising and programming this festival under lockdown conditions. And we've always known that it was going to be largely online. So we've kind of been programming with that in mind to some extent, you know, so there's less of a kind of square peg in a round hole element to it that there perhaps was a bit more of last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so about our program, what are the things that you look forward to the most? We'll chat more about it in detail later, but like what are sort of the highlights?
I suppose the competition is always a highlight for me this year more than ever, because we've had so much more involvement from the wider team.
Yeah, I think our approach has been better than it's ever been, to be honest. Like,
yeah, and just to have so many people involved at every stage of the selection process, so many people having seen as much of the shortlist as we have.
I think it's also important to flag up like the Q&As again, because obviously it's like last year where we've got these pre-recorded Zoom Q&As with the international filmmakers. I mean, like, I think it was really nicely done last year, but it does make a difference having them do those Q&As with this much involvement in the program.
Yeah, particularly having already written a short piece about the film that they're doing the Q&A for, so they've kind of got a thesis that they're then following up with the filmmaker, and in some cases the filmmaker has already read what they've written, so that's given a foundation for quite a good conversation. That side of things has been really really enjoyable to be working on.
Yeah, and I'm going to let you talk about this. It's the 10th anniversary of our Bill Douglas Award for International Short Film, which obviously most of the podcasts are related to as well. So Talk about the importance.
I suppose it was, when was it? It was 2012 when we had the first Bill Douglas Award, which was my third year at the festival. You know, we'd had an international award for the first 2 years, or rather, no, just an award. It wasn't even an international one. And so it was when we decided to have a second competition devoted to Scottish filmmaking that we, at the same time, decided to kind of give the international award a bit more of a unique sort of focus. And obviously, Bill Douglas, to my mind, was the best Scottish filmmaker that's ever been, who also worked a lot in shorter form. It seemed just the right thing to do to kind of name it after him, with the blessing of Peter Jewell, who'd been his long-time close friend and collaborator. And that first year was really lovely because we had Peter at the festival, and we also had several people who'd collaborated with Bill at the festival, like Ian Seller, the filmmaker who'd worked on his early films, and Alex Norton, who had acted in Comrades. So the idea of the award has always been to celebrate kind of visually led storytelling that takes risks with form to some extent and has a kind of a poetic element to it. And so, having given 9 awards now, 9 Bill Douglas Awards, and having the 10th this year, it felt like a good time just to kind of look back at them all and see if there is a kind of common thread running through these films. I'm still kind of grappling with that, but I think there is. They do play with form. They are, you know, some of them are quite hybrid works. You know, they're all quite unique and unusual and challenging to some extent, but also really exciting. It's really nice to have gone back to all those filmmakers and to see how they're doing.
Yeah, so we're presenting those 9 films. They're going to be watchable on the platform for all of the festival week. And then per film, there'll be an interview with the filmmakers on our podcast channel. And speaking of awards, we will also have our audience awards for both the Scottish and the international competition as usual. Do you want to say how people can vote for their favourites?
Yeah, well, like last year, you have to view the whole program in order to then vote on the films in that program. But because we're making the Scottish competition, in particular, we're making that available for the whole week rather than just for 48 hours, it should be a lot easier for people to watch all of those films. You don't have to watch it all in one go. You can watch the films here and there. And then once you've done that for each block, it then opens up the voting. And the voting will be available basically until, I think we have to set it until kind of like something like 5 o'clock on the Sunday, because then we've got to count the votes.
Thank you. And we're going to go on to hear from some of our team before we come back. Next, our marketing officer, Katie Goh, and festival coordinator, Heather Bradshaw, chat about how they found being part of this year's online edition and discuss some of their programme highlights. After that, we will hear from Natasha Ruona, curator of Black Spatial Imaginaries, Peter Taylor and Myrit Carton, who are behind the Barbed Wire Love Strand. I speak to my co-curator Jessica McGough about Big Dog Energy. And finally, we hear from Sean Welsh at Matchbox Cine Club about the John Pice films that they're presenting at GSFF this year.
I'm Heather, and I'm the festival coordinator for Glasgow Short Film Festival.
Cool. I'm Katie. I'm the marketing and communications officer at Glasgow Short Film Festival.
So I guess what I'm really looking forward to is just sharing a lot of the, especially like the competition programmes. I think they're super strong this year. The Bill Douglas Awards, like, I've been like quite a big part of like that selection process, like as part of the submission views for this year, which was like, I'd say about 15 people. And it's, yeah, there's just some absolutely incredible films in there. And I think it's really wonderful that we're able to interview them this year over Zoom. Big Dog Energy is something that I've been kind of reining myself in from watching until the festival, because I think it'll be a really nice little relaxing watch during the festival. So I haven't actually watched any of those films yet, so I'm excited to see them. And also the Matchbox Cine Club, their program that they've created looks super exciting. I've actually seen Springtime in Greenland because my flatmate actually translated it into French for them last year. So what about you, Katie? What are you excited about in the program?
I think I'm also very excited about Big Dog Energy. I think that most people who who know about it are mostly excited for that, because I think we all need a little bit of pet therapy at the moment. I'm also really excited about the No New Normal program. I've been thinking a lot, I'm sure you have been as well, Heather, about how our relationship to work sort of during the pandemic and how that's changed and how we think about work has changed. So I'm really excited that this program will sort of dance with different ideas of what work means, sort of what work has meant in the past and what it means at present and what it will mean in the future. And the program's a really interesting combination of sort of dystopia and sci-fi and speculative sort of fiction, but also films that are more grounded in reality. So I'm really looking forward to questioning my job while, you know, doing my job.
Yeah, for sure. I think actually that's like a really interesting take on that, just because obviously everything's been so different this year because everything's been online. I don't know, it's very different in terms of events management and that sort of thing. But I think in terms of outreach, it's actually been quite exciting. I mean, like the idea that the industry program is, you know, free of charge this year, that's pretty cool. And yeah, like that, like I was saying before about the interviews and stuff, the fact that like because everything is digital, it's meant that we can sort of reach out a bit further and connect with more people than we might have done in person. I think that's maybe setting up the festival for next year to maybe have like an even bigger outreach, because it's sort of whet people's appetites for this sort of content.
Yeah, I think so as well. In terms of the marketing side of things, it's been really interesting because obviously having an online festival, it's going to reach a wider audience than the audience that would be there in Glasgow in person.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like actually for short film in particular, like it's a lot easier to consume and a lot easier for people to kind of get their head around at the moment. So yeah, it's kind of given a platform to short film.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something I've been thinking about a lot too. And yeah, I don't know about you, but at the moment and sort of during the last year, my headspace has sort of been all over the place and I haven't really been able to take in as many films as I normally would have. And actually, I've been really enjoying watching the shorts because you don't really have to commit too much mental space and time to it. You kind of can dip in and out, or you can, you know, watch a full program, which is also really exciting.
Yeah, I just think it's like such an easier way for people to, you know, engage with cinema in this sort of situation. But also, you know, short films, like because they are short films, kind of have to give you more in a short space of time. And I think that's something that, you know, like I've really realized from like watching, doing like submissions viewing, you know, you can watch like one short film and it sticks with you for the rest of the day. And you could sit and watch like a 3-hour film or documentary or whatever, and it just really like go over your head.
Yeah, I think so too. You were saying there that some of the shorts might have stuck in your head a little bit. Are there any in particular that have stuck around and that you're excited for people to see?
Well, like the two Bill Douglas films that I've done the Q&As for, I really wanted to talk to those particular filmmakers just because I've loved those films. So that was Coom by Kang Min and Spotted Yellow. And they're both like, I don't know, like they're both very dreamy films and very aesthetic films. So like Coom is a stop motion animation film about dreams and about a relationship between a mother and a son. And Spotted Yellow, yeah, which is about like female mental health. Oh, I don't even want to like say too much. Like I don't want to give too much away because it's just such a beautiful film. But yeah, those, I would say from Bill Douglas, those are my two picks. How about you, Kate?
Yeah, one that I really enjoyed was Mass by Nadine Dinkavisi, which I actually saw at Fringe of Colour last year. It's such a interesting short. And, you know, like you were saying about the ones you were talking about, it's hard to sort of describe them. But Mass is a really interesting sort of experience of a film. It sort of overlaps visual and auditory elements to create this really quite intimate experience. And also the Scottish competition, some of those have been in my head. I've only seen about half of the films, but there's one called Green Thoughts by William Hong Xiaowei, and it's a really interesting short that's sort of about landscape and about people's relationship to landscape and space. And I think that's a real theme that's sort of emerging throughout the whole festival, is people's relationship to space, whether that's the space of the outdoors or space of the inside, because we're all still, you know, in lockdown. So I think that that's sort of coming through, and it's really interesting actually to see in the program where sort of these ideas of what's happening in our brains, what's interesting us at the moment with lockdown, is sort of coming out in different little pieces in the films.
Yeah, I really like that idea of different spaces and kind of interweaving throughout the program.
Definitely. And I'm also excited about the future when we can all meet up and things. It's been really, you know, it's interesting, but it's also challenging working from home and organizing a festival from home. I mean, we've never met in person. I've only met Matt and Sana, the director and co-director, once in person. So my whole sort of experience of working for Glasgow Short Film Festival has been with my laptop over Zoom. So I am excited about one day all of us getting together and going to the pub for a big drink.
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying before how my first experience was doing an internship last year for my master's. And yeah, like I didn't even, I mean, that was like an in-person for the most part. But then towards the end, obviously, the actual event itself was cancelled. So I never got to have that part of it. Yeah, I just think it would be really nice for everyone to finally meet.
Yeah, 2022. Let's go.
I'm Natasha Rowona, and I programmed a strand called Black Spatial Imaginaries that had its first part last year, and the second part is coming this year. It was all meant to be together for last March, but obviously because of COVID, that it kind of got delayed, and then we decided to split it up. But the kind of thinking behind the strand and the project, maybe more generally, was like to do with what I was researching at the time. So I started looking at Black geographies within my practice as like an artist and a filmmaker, but also as a programmer as well, and trying to find those links between what I was making and what kind of other people had made as well. So I kind of look at this program as a lot of the artist research or something that I kind of did prior to making my own work. So these were kind of works that I'd looked at as kind of inspiration or like influence. And then also coming into like Glasgow Short Film Festival, doing that research there, which also impacted my practice in art school. So yeah, that's kind of where the project first like started, and these ideas of like space and thinking about how as Black people we move around space, and thinking about geographies and migration. And so yeah, for the second part, there was a bit of a revamp, just because there was always part one and two, but I'd split it for I guess the different times that the strand was happening. So for this one, there's maybe more of a focus on space in different spaces as well, and maybe how they connect to each other. So I kind of see it as like a map, and then that's the route that kind of follows each of the film. Yeah, I was looking at the competition program as well, and mass was in there, and that was really, really relevant to the program Black Spatial Imaginaries. But I didn't include it in the program just because it's in the competition, but that was really exciting for me to see as well, just because that has themes of like geography, but also playing around with different dimensions or different sanctuaries and these worlds that might not be apparent, but could exist under the surface. Or thinking about as well, like the city, and how is the city oppressing us, and how do we fit into the city, and how do we not, and how does that impact us? But yeah, going back to the kind of like focus of the program, a few films that I just really, really enjoyed, like some of them were from the competition from this year, and some of them were included from last year. So there's Clay by Jade Montserrat, and that's a really interesting film, and she's going to record a poem, which will be a really nice addition, I think. And that film is sort of set in like the English countryside, and it's Jade moving around in a field, and there's clay, and it's just really, really beautiful, beautifully shot, and just a beautiful slow film that kind of, yeah, introduces this idea of like space and like kind of the natural landscape as well. Because I'm always thinking about how like countryside especially like is really white, and I feel like kind of things relating to nature are often always very white in terms of like walking groups or gardening and things like that. And that film for me really, I don't know, yeah, challenged that, I guess, and kind of showed like the body in the countryside and in that kind of raw kind of dirt and mud and really just being involved with that environment. It was really an exciting film to watch. And then there's also The Uninhabitable Ones, which is a Brazilian film, which I really, really loved. And that was part of the competition. And then another film, which is called A Terrible Fiction, is really, really, yeah, just amazing. Like, it's maybe more of a moving image work. So it's kind of like a voiceover, and it's maybe more of an essay kind of set up as well. Yeah, so in terms of the programme, I think it's really exciting for where we are now and thinking about COVID and lockdown and not being allowed to be in space, right? Where we've got like a stay-at-home order and thinking about those kind of like juxtapositions. And I think this film programme really fits in with now and making that a wider topic for people to consider how your body fits into space and how it does it and what spaces are you allowed to kind of accommodate or thrive in.
Yeah, my name's Peter Taylor. I'm a film programmer and creator.
My name is Myrit Carton, and I am an artist filmmaker. And Peter, is this the first programme you've done on Northern Ireland since you left, or have there been others?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that's one of the interesting things about the programme, in a way. It's sort of when Matt asked us to do a program relating to Northern Ireland. On one hand, it was like a dream come true. On the other hand, my worst nightmare. I find it really funny because a lot of the time when I'm thinking about film programs, you and people creating them and introducing them, you do try to think and really, really value actually voices that are closest to the subject area and the context that you're thinking about. Yeah, I guess just because it is so close and also far away in a way, like it's where all my family's from, and my experience of growing up was one of the largest factors in that was the troubles, and I left kind of around the time of the peace elements. And also I studied Irish history. So it's definitely something I've always very interested in, wanted to take a lot of care about, but not necessarily something I'd like to make a film program about. Red, I'm really glad I could work with you.
Yeah, what was really exciting for me was discovering these films that had been made even and that I'd never heard of, especially Simon Appley's work. I was just so excited when you brought that to me, and the Desmond Bell film Dancing on Narrow Ground, because the films had so much energy and wit and humour, and they weren't the sort of well-worn tales. And for me, what was really a guiding principle in the work was that idea of tenderness, but also sort of failed opportunities for connection, which seems to come through a lot. And then I feel like what was really invigorating as well at the beginning, because obviously we were programming this in 2019. I think that year I'd read that Anna Burns Muckman book, and somehow it captures the atmosphere in a way that straight up narratives don't. And the use of the form and the language was able to make the strangeness of the situation concrete, while also most of the strangeness came from skirting around the issue. And so because of that, it's so difficult to make work that deals with those atmospheres and that deals with the issues around the core issue. And you almost have to have this sort of strange formalism to come in at that. And so I think it was a great opportunity. And then Mariah Garnett's film Trouble seemed to be a huge spark for both of us, because she was able to use mixed media and so many different strategies to to come in at something from different angles and therefore show that you can never have a complete picture in the same way that Milkman does. Although we don't have any references apart from the program text to, say, Barbed Wire Love or Milkman, there's something that informed our choices quite a lot.
Raya's film is so wonderful in lots of ways. I mean, it's in some ways imagining growing up in Northern Ireland that she never had, but it shows a radical history, a radical politics and working class politics that I think not everyone is aware of.
A lot of the films have a direct address, and the filmmaking style has the film embedded as a way of engaging with people. It's never an outsider, I suppose, is one of the things in the program that comes up.
Hi, Jesse, how are you?
Hi, Vanna.
So we've got a dog program, Big Dog Energy, which I'm really happy that you worked on for us. Like, I feel there's quite a few reasons why we maybe wanted to do it, particularly this year. So yeah, I think it'd be nice for you to sort of chat about what the program was meant to be and hopefully what it's reflecting now.
Yeah, so I guess we can start with how we kind of got inspired to make this program. And I think it was by viewing a few submissions that featured dogs quite heavily, but most importantly, not in a kind of grim or grisly way. And we kind of started thinking about the satisfaction that we get from watching dogs, even if it's just watching dogs on screen. I mean, I think it's quite clear in the kind of popularity of viral videos of dogs being silly or heroic or kind of unique in some way that these videos are shared because they in some way make us feel good. And I think that this year we all want to feel good in some way. And we'd started thinking about dogs, and I guess dogs have played quite a large part in lockdown. It's kind of become a bit of a cliche now that, you know, dogs are having a really good experience of lockdown because they get to spend all their time with us and get taken out on walks all the time. But I guess dogs have also been a kind of like real mental health salve for a lot of people. So I think we just wanted to kind of provide that service in a virtual way to our audience.
Yeah. I mean, my dog definitely was very good for my mental health over lockdown, but I wonder if it was good on him because he just went a bit loopy. Like, I think he really hated that I was around all the time. Like, he would just stare at me from corners in the room. Well, you primarily went out to sort of look for films that could be used in this. You've sort of, in the description to this program, have mentioned that, you know, we've got dogs on there that are philosophers and spirit guides and labourers. And so I was wondering if you could maybe talk a bit about some of the ways they feature in the program and what role they play.
Yeah, I think that when I was starting to do the submissions and starting to kind of look for my own dog-related films, I started to notice how often dogs meet a kind of grisly or bleak fate in short films. And dogs are so often kind of used as metaphors, but often to the expense of their own sense of being. So we kind of wanted to focus on kind of dogs in situations you wouldn't necessarily expect them to be in. So sometimes that means seeing them as kind of ghosts or spirit guides. Sometimes it's kind of looking at where they kind of place in society and in different cultures. There's a film in there that talks about dogs as a tool in a very native culture, and maybe that's something that we don't think through dogs as being, especially when we just see them as pets.
And when you, I mean, so you mentioned that one, what are sort of your favourites from the programme?
I do like them all because they are all adorable. But I have kind of two favourites. My first would probably be Dog of My Dreams by Roz Mortimer, which is very funny and a kind of subversive look at how we relate to dogs. It looks specifically at small girls and big dogs and uses that relationship to think more broadly about sexuality and repression. And it's also quite delightful. It's very 2001 looking. And my second would probably be The Interior by Jonathan Ratner, which is a really gorgeously shot work. It's filmed in the Alaskan interior, and it observes a pack of working dogs, sledding dogs, It's a very kind of sensory film, and you really feel like you're part of this tiny community of dogs and humans. But it's also just a really delightful watch. The dogs have this very innate sense for anti-comedy, and they're just really fun to watch, and also just completely adorable as well.
Yeah, neon booties in the snow. What else can you want? Yeah, I think hopefully that sort of sets people up a little bit. And then I wanted to quickly ask you as well, because you've been part of our submissions process for the competition selection. So I was kind of wondering if you had any comments on that, on how you found that, and what maybe your highlights are from what has made it into the selection.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very, very diverse viewing experience, certainly. Not just kind of diverse internationally, but also just in terms of tone and aesthetic. There is just a lot to discover there. I think one of my favourites that I want to kind of give a shout out would probably be Letter to My Mother by Amina Mayer, which is a kind of very personal reflection on the director's relationship with her mother. And the director had starred previously in Abbas Kiarostami's 10, and I would it kind of finds her 2 decades later. It's a really kind of intimate and fascinating reflection. So I would like to give that one a shout out personally.
My name's Sean Welsh. I am the programmer and subtitler for Matchbox Cine. We're an independent exhibitor who previously were based in Glasgow for a long time, but now we're based in Bristol since towards the end of last year. And we have a long history of working with the Short Film Festival, both as co-programmers for special events and as subtitlers. And so this year is a kind of a continuation of some programming we've done before. We're doing a very special program called The Three Worlds of Nick, which is a program of 3 shorts by Canadian director John Pays, who is well-known in some circles for a film called Crime Wave, not to be confused with the Sam Raimi Crime Wave, which came out in the same year, which was 1985, 1986. And it's that film is a Canadian cult classic, an excellent film and really emblematic of the kind of programming that Matchbox does, which is, we tend to call it orphans or outcasts and outliers of cult cinema. So basically just great films that you, for whatever reason, can't see anywhere else or deserve a second look or a first look. So we showed Crime Wave at the Glasgow Film Festival in 2017. We had the UK premiere of the restoration, the 2K restoration of that film. We're really lucky to have it, and we were really lucky to have John over as well for that screening. Since then, we've done a couple of programmes with his work and the work of the Winnipeg Film Group. So what this is the 3 shorts that originally followed a short film called The Obsession of Billy Botsky, which we showed in the dive-in program last year. So this is 3 shorts that were intended to be shown in as a sequence, as a feature film, but they were made as independent shorts and they were intended to be programmed together. But they've been very rarely screened as such, and they kind of lead in directly to Crime Wave. They feature director, writer, producer, actor, art designer John Pays as Nick, who is a silent man character. He's mute and he just is the center of the action, but he doesn't ever say anything, and he's stoic and impassive, and it's a really interesting character and they're really interesting films. So that's what this is. We're really lucky to have that relationship with John and with the Winnipeg Film Group and with the Short Film Festival, and we're really lucky to be able to show the springtime in Greenland, followed by Oak Ivy and Dead Elms, and then the International Style, which closes the programme. So we're also going to have new artwork from Mark Baines, who's a really brilliant illustrator we've worked with a few times. He's going to be doing some new artwork for that. And we'll still have the zine we had from the Tales from Winnipeg programme, which we did last year separately as Matchbox, our online programme. That's still available too, but that kind of ties in to the programming in general. We're also going to have all new director-approved captions or descriptive subtitles, which we've been able to work on in collaboration with John Pays himself. He's been able to give us his signing off on those, which is really great because in addition to our programme this year, we're involved in making sure that GSFF is completely 100% captioned, which means that there will be optional descriptive subtitles or SDH, or aka captions, on every film. So every film will be accessible in that sense to deaf or deafened viewers, or anyone else that would like to use captions. So that's a huge project, 150 films, I think, over 150 films, and a lot of them needing subtitled from scratch. It's a really great challenge and a really brilliant thing that GSFF are doing. They've been building up their access provision for a couple of years now. But it's like it's a really impressive thing, necessary, I think, but very rarely done. And GSFF have been really bold to kind of embrace that challenge. And we're really lucky to be able to work with them on it to make sure everything's as accessible as we can in that regard. So yeah, that's what we're doing this year for GSFF. And again, really excited to do it. I'm really excited for everyone to see it and enjoy it. And we will hopefully be able to hear from people after the fact, in lieu of being able to see you at the actual event. But we're excited.
Yeah, it's nice hearing from the external curators and the team and, you know, contributors about what we have in store for the program. And then I think maybe we should talk a bit about what we are planning as well. Because obviously, like as you said earlier, we've been able to program a bit more with the current context in mind, and that also involves maybe responding a bit to the feelings and conversations of a year of pandemic without that being like a super bleak, challenging program.
Yeah, well, I want to hear about your programs, the No New Normal strand of the festival, which seems to be exactly that. Tell us about that, Sana.
I primarily was thinking quite a lot about working conditions and labor over the pandemic, because I feel like that was sort of the main thing that everyone had in common, was this sort of questioning of how we work and what we are really to put up with, willing to put up with, and why, and just the absurdity of some of the structures that seemed to be sort of immovable even at the worst of times. So yeah, so then I was thinking about this program, which is what came of that, is sort of the absurdity of labor program that is part of No New Normal, which kind of looks in different ways, I guess, a little bit at those themes. And then obviously, because the world being what it is, I was looking at quite a lot of sci-fi related stuff and ideas of like other worlds, but also alternative worlds and maybe reimaginings of our world. So there's a program that kind of deals with that and does that through both funny animations and quite dense sort of speculative fiction on the climate crisis and something for everyone. And then the third program in that strand is Monitored, which is kind of in response, I guess, to us having been online even more than we usually are over the last year, and kind of ideas of surveillance and control that sit within that world. And
I was just going to say, you've got some really nice names in there, actually, across the three programs, some of our faves.
Yes, yes. It's some of our faves and then some names that we maybe haven't shown before, but I've sort of had an eye on for a while. And I think some really interesting work, like the Phantom Minutes, Graham Arnfield's work, I think it's sort of 36 minutes. It's dense, but it's one of those films that I saw on the big screen and it's incredible, but it's also a film that just like is really suited for laptop viewing, I think. So, you know, that's also been something that's been kept in mind, because I think in that Monitored strand and throughout it, I think there's some works that deal with repurposing online footage as well. So it's also, while it's reflecting on that condition of being online, it's also more suited to viewing that way, I guess. And then you've done a complete like lockdown program.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, like, I think we haven't yet seen the impact of a kind of a drop in production in terms of the submissions received. You know, we receive films this year that obviously been shot before lockdown and so people were still editing them or whatever, but we did see a lot of lockdown work, you know. And it's interesting seeing how theater companies are doing a lot of kind of little pieces through Zoom or whatever, or just you know, kind of, so there's quite a lot of kind of competition for that style of filmmaking at the moment. And a lot of it is perhaps a bit rudimentary, maybe. I think the idea was to put together a few films, and it's only five films that have responded in quite different ways. So we've got John Smith's most recent film, Citadel. John Smith, the kind of the the king of UK experimental filmmaking. And Citadel's actually, it's already had an outing on MUBI earlier this year, but it's a really fantastic kind of political work by John. And in fact, I mean, John is kind of the quintessential lockdown filmmaker in a way. I mean, he made a whole series of films called Hotel Diaries, you know, which were basically made in a hotel room. So he knows how to do this. But then we've also got Jan Soldat. We featured at the festival a few years ago in 2016. Jan's kind of usual work as an Austrian documentary filmmaker is he kind of explores middle-aged men and their sexual fetishes. But this is a very strange and kind of almost abstract and ritualistic work, which is very different to anything he's done before. And then a kind of a lovely but very typical lockdown film where someone's just been super inventive in their own small flat and just created a world in a very enclosed space. It's a French film by Philippe Prouf. And then in kind of response to that is a film called Locked Out, which is formerly it's a kind of a straight documentary, but it's a really extraordinary, very moving film about all the homeless people in Paris who are suddenly devoid of any income at all from asking for money on the streets or doing kind of casual labor or whatever. And it's a really powerful piece of work. And we end with a Brazilian kind of Saturday night sort of bedroom rave for one, which starts weirdly as a kind of an artist's funding application. It's a lovely, strange, very short piece.
And then in like as opposed to all of this, which is like it'll be great, but also you've got like almost the opposite of that in the other program you've put together in terms of you know physical freedom.
Yeah, so in response to that was a program which we're calling Bangers and Mosh. It's not not my idea, but I've embraced it, which is basically we just wanted to make a program about dance and clubbing and being in dark, tight, hot, sweaty spaces in close physical intimacy with other people, all the things we've been missing. As a program, it's moved on from just being about dance, but that's at the core of it. Hopefully it's just kind of an opportunity for everyone to live vicariously through short film or their nighttime fantasies, featuring a big premiere from trailer maker James Price.
The closer it's getting, the more I am very pleased with a lot of, you know, with how the program is looking. So hopefully people will enjoy it and tune in. I again want to flag up that we have done a full podcast series with 9 episodes around the Bill Douglas Award anniversary. So all of those will be available via our website, glasgowshort.org, and then they will also be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, any preferred mainstream podcast app that people are using. So yeah, thank you for chatting.
Thanks for having me, Senna.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Before we finish, a few shout-outs. Glasgow Short Film Festival is made possible thanks to the generous support of Screen Scotland and Film Hub Scotland. This podcast was produced for us by Helena Rifai, with music by Lewis Den Hechtoch. We'd love to hear your responses to this episode and our festival programme, so get in touch. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Glasgow Short. Enjoy the festival.